Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Open Forum, and I'm Brother Robbins, and we're thankful to have you on our show today. This is Open Forum, a Bible study program where you can call in and get Bible answers to all your Bible questions. This program is broadcast every Thursday from 7:30 till 8:30, and we want you to tune in and call in with your live questions or comments. The number to call is 1-347-850-8256. That's 1-347-850-8256. This show is sponsored by the Church of Christ in Darien, Luke, where Brother Louis Parker IV is local minister, in cooperation with the Church of Christ in Brewster, Texas, where I serve as local minister. We also have as our panel of guests Brother Louis Parker IV and Brother Louis Parker Jr., also Brother Williams from Wharton. And we have Brother Brown serving as our moderator. And we thank God for all those who tune in and call in with your questions or comments. At this time, we're going to bow for a word of prayer. Shall we bow? Our Father and our God in heaven, it is to thee we come with bowed heads and pure hearts, giving thanks for this day and all the many blessings thou hast bestowed upon us. We come, dear Father, in the most humble manner we know how, giving all praise, glory, and honor to thy holy and divine name. We come, dear Father, giving thanks for Jesus, our Savior, who left his home in glory to come to this sin-cursed world, live a sinless life, and yet die on the cross for the sin of mankind. Father, we are thankful for the church he purchased with his own blood, allowing us to obey the gospel, to become members thereof, that we can all strive to live faithful to death, that heaven may be our eternal home. We give thanks, Father, for all those who tune in. We give thanks for our listening audience. And we give thanks for our panel guests and our moderator, that everyone may come together with wherewithal and presence of mind to just focus solely on thy word and act accordingly. We pray, Father, that thy preached word, that it may go forth as a mighty stream, where someone may see their unknown condition and come crying, meaning, brethren, what shall you be saved? Cool us, Father, and be our God, not forever. This be our prayer. In Christ Jesus' name, let us all say, amen.
Amen.
This is Open Forum, and we want you to call in with your questions or comments. The number to call is 1-347-850-8256. 1-347-850-8256. If you got a question or comment, after you dial that number, just dial number 1. Press number 1, and we'll get you live on the air. You can ask your question live, because this program is designed with you in mind, and we give you the option to ask questions. Our motto is, the dumbest question in the world is the one that's never asked. So we want you to please ask questions. So don't feel, don't be bashful, don't be squeamish. We hear and we speak the truth and love. We love you, we love you, we love
you.
Tell you the truth. Jesus our Lord said in John the 8th chapter in verse 30 and 31, he says, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. This is why we allow you to call and ask questions, because truth don't mind questioning. Anything that's legitimate shouldn't have any problem with open and honest investigation, because truth has nothing to fear. Truth has nothing to fear. And while we go on this way, I want to give us a topic for tonight. I was asked by an old college friend I stumbled across last Saturday night, and they were saying how they were surprised to hear I wound up being a minister. I didn't want to get into all of that. But anyway, they talked about our plans, pardon me, and God's plan. They said, well, you know, we may all have our own individual plan, but God has his own plan. And, you know, that's exactly right. So what came to mind is, do anyone, talking to the audience, not to our panel, is anyone aware of the fact of God's plan concerning man's soul salvation? This is something that people have missed for years, and they still are. What is God's plan for man's eternal salvation?
Amen.
That's a compelling, provocative kind of question. but not many folks know the answer. The Bible has the answer, but, you know, it's amazing. The Bible is the national bestseller every year. You know, we sell more Bibles in this country than any other books. Now, although it's not, and I recognize it such because you have separated the church and state. The government can't collect tax off of it. Therefore, you don't recognize it.
Right.
But we sell more Bibles than any book in this country. However, it's the least read and the most understood. People give them as gifts, but that's all that's for the goal, is a gift. They never read it, you know. So we're asking tonight. We want you to call us and talk to us about it. Are you aware of the fact of what is God's plan for man's eternal salvation? The number to call is 1-347-850-8256. 1-347-850-8256. Brother Parker.
Yes, yes, and we want you to call in and ask questions, and if you got something to say, say that online. Just press button number one and Brother Brown will let you on in and come on in and speak to us, because we need to know that this Bible, the most well-sold book here probably in America, especially in probably across the world, it is our guidance to leading from earth to going to heaven. Now, God is going to destroy this earth. He's going to and he's going to send a lot of people that didn't do right on this earth to hell. Billions of people, I'm sure it'll be, that's going to hell. Now, we've got to follow his instructions in this Bible. You know, it's a strange thing how people can go take driving tests and take their tests to pass their classes in school from the first grade all the way through college, passing and try to get out so they can be qualified to either get to the next level of education or to get the education to get them a good job. Now, the education that God wants us to have is to follow his instructions from the time that we become eligible to go to hell or heaven. And we got to walk in the footsteps of Jesus. We got to make our calling and election sure.
Amen.
That's how God's on earth. We've got to leave it. This book has been placed here on this earth for the instructions and preachers are to preach it and live it and set the example in front of people and ordain elders and deacons and churches, the only church that's in the Bible, the Church of Christ. And those instructions are for those that are only in the Church of Christ. Live the most blessed life you could ever live on planet Earth and then die and go to heaven. I remember a lady that lived to be over 100 years old. And before she took sick, she got burned. She was cooking for herself and living in her own house. She was 101, 102 years old at that time, getting up cooking and coming to church every Sunday and every night of the week that it was open. And she was coming there, and she just said, "I'm just waiting on Jesus, just waiting on Jesus." You know, she had a wonderful life here, the most blessed life you could ever live on planet Earth, and then die and go to heaven, to the most blessed place above us. And that's with God, the Father, the Son, the angels that are left in heaven. Everybody else is going down to hell where Satan and his angels are. Right now. We got to try to live right and do right on this earth. And that's not the easiest thing in the world to do unless you obey the gospel and study and continue to be faithful. And God blesses you. And you will understand why you are being blessed. A lot of people say, "Well, I don't want to go to church," but no, we don't want to go to hell. That's why we're going to church, and in the right church that's in the Bible. And when you follow his instructions there, you are blessed here. The most blessed life you could ever live here on earth. And the greatest life that is ever lived in earth that will be there. Be there with Jesus, the angels, and the Lord, and the God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, angels, and all that have lived right on this earth. That's what we are all about here on this earth, and we got to know. Now, just because you can get a good job, make money, get your education, get you a good job, make you some money, and buy you some stuff, buy you some things, and buy you a house on, that's not going to save you on this earth. And you're not going to be blessed like you should be blessed. You know, there are some of us that don't have no money, but living a good life on this earth, the most blessed life we could ever live on this earth. That's what we're looking for. And then die and go to Jesus and be with God in heaven eternally from this earth. That's what we want to see. Okay, Ben Williams, are you on?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. What is God's plan for you and I? We got a lot of false teachers and a lot of philosophers talking about God has a plan for your life. And they talk about it as though there is a plan for your life and it's separate and apart from anybody else's life. God has an individual plan for you and I, but we don't have the same plan. But according to the word of God, there's only one plan that God has for man's eternal salvation.
Amen.
He says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 8, the Holy Spirit is speaking to a minister of God, and he says, therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the story. That is the good news and glad tidings of the salvation of God that has come down from God into the life of man. Don't be ashamed of that testimony, nor of his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to the light through the gospel. Ladies and gentlemen in Radio Land, those of you who are looking at this program through the internet, you need to understand that, yes, God has a plan for your life. God has revealed the message and the plan for your life, and it's in the gospel. God wants to save every man from their sins. All who will obey him, he can save. But you must obey the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Again, in Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, the Holy Spirit had Paul to write to the church at Rome. And Paul made a personal declaration. He says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone that believeth, the Jew first and also the Gentile. For therein, where? In the gospel. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from one generation of faith to another generation of faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. You have to live by faith in God. We got to believe in God, and as a result of believing in God, we believe what God said, and we are willing to do, to obey what God commands. That's what faith is all about. And without that kind of faith, that's a living faith, that's an active faith. Without that kind of faith, we can't please God.
Amen.
Hebrews 11 and verse 1 and verse 6. Verse 6 of Hebrews 11 says, without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must first believe that he is, and secondly, he must believe in the reward of God. See, if you believe in the reward, then you're going to follow the rules in order to receive that reward. Anytime you're in a contest or a program where there's an award to be given, you must comply with the rules in order to receive that award. We have the Summer Olympics that's going on in the world today. And in that Summer Olympic program, there are rules and guidelines that every contestant, every athlete has to abide by in their sport. And if they abide by those rules and they compete according to those rules and they come out in, then they will receive the reward or the award of excellence. Everybody is trying to win the gold medal. That's the top award. That's the award of excellence. But you have to win it and you have to attain it by following the rules as you practice and participate in the sport. Everybody in Christ wants to receive the golden crown of eternal life. We want that crown of eternal life. We want that because that's what God's reward is, eternal life in heaven. But in order to get it, we have to obey, we have to walk by, we have to live by, we have to participate according to the rules or the commandments and the word of God. Jesus commands every man to be baptized into Christ for the removal of his sins in order to be added to his spiritual family, the church, and be saved. We know this to be a fact because that's what happened on the day of Pentecost, as you read in your Bibles in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 47. That is where the church is recorded. The church began on the day of Pentecost. According to history, it was around May 28th, Sunday morning, 9 a.m. in the morning, the 12 apostles were preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ to a crowd of Jews who had assembled in the courtyard, in the congregational courtyard for the Passover ceremony. The Spirit allowed them to teach people in that public arena. And after preaching the gospel of Christ, teaching men how that Jesus Christ came, he lived a perfect human life in the flesh, and he died and gave his life as a sacrifice for our sins, shed his blood that we might be cleansed from our sins. He became the blood sacrifice that God required for man's sin. He became sin for us.
Amen.
And now we have an opportunity to benefit through grace by our obedience to the gospel command. What is the command? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the removal of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. God
Amen.
Will come into your life. The Holy Spirit will be present in your life to guide you, to protect you, to sanctify you, and to keep you free from your sins. All you got to do is listen to the Spirit's preaching and conversation, which is the Bible. The Bible was written by God. It is inspired. It is God-breathed. God spoke it. God wrote it. He used prophets, New Testament prophets and the apostles, as the pens, the instruments of his writing, so that now we have the Holy Writ, which we call the Bible.
Man.
You have to look into the Bible to get the instructions. The Bible, in acronym, means basic instructions before leaving earth. The only way you're going to know how to get to that eternal reward, the only way you're going to know what the rules are to follow, you got to look in the Bible. You got to open your Bible, and you're going to have to read what God has said. The Bible is the revelation of the mind of God and what he wants for you to know in order to be saved. Anything
Amen.
That you need to know to be saved is written in the Bible. If it's not written in the Bible, it's not God's word, it's not God's revelation, and it's not the truth. So it's a plan. God's plan has already been shown and revealed to man. Titus chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly and righteously in this present world. That's the plan that God has.
Amen.
Every man needs to hear, believe, repent, confess faith in God, and submit to baptism for the removal of sins. If you do that, then Jesus Christ, the Lord himself, will add you to his spiritual family, the church, the kingdom, the house of God, and you will be a saint. You will be saved in the house. And all you do from there is you live and work out your soul salvation with reverent respect and obedience to the commands and the word of God.
Amen.
Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. You got to love the Lord. The Lord has loved you. God so loved the world, gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. People are perishing because they're not really believing in Christ. They're believing a lot of things, and some are not believing at all. There are some who believe in false doctrine. But Jesus commands baptism for the remission of sin. Some who are believing preachers and false teachers who are telling you don't even have to be baptized to be saved.
Amen.
We recommend and we commend you to the word of God, ladies and gentlemen. Do what God says, because Jesus Christ is going to be the judge of every man's soul in the end. And the Bible says in Revelation chapter 20 and verse number 15, and whosoever was not found written in the word of God was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. That's hell, ladies and gentlemen. If you don't want to go to hell, you better be written in the word of God. What do you mean, Brother William, written? Your name, your spiritual name, must be that is written in the word of God. What name is it? Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. There neither is there salvation in any other what? Any other name. For there is no other name under heaven given to men whereby we must be saved. That name is Jesus Christ. That's the name you got to wear, ladies and gentlemen. If you obey the gospel of Christ, you become a child of Christ. You are a member of the church of Christ. You wear the name of Christ. You name that name, and you follow the doctrine of Christ or the teachings of Christ, and you will be saved by the gospel of Christ, and you will be redeemed by the blood of Christ, and you will be able to go to heaven with Christ when he comes again. That's the plan that God has for every man who will listen, believe, and obey him. God bless you. Back to you, Brother Robbins.
Number to call is 1-347-850-8256. 1-347-850-8256. Brother Brown, do we have any callers on the line?
No, sir, not at this moment. We got Brother Park on the line.
Well, I'll interject something here. We're talking about God's plan. Here's something that people generally miss. Although they know the story in the Bible, they miss the plan. Here, in the first instance, we find a worship. We have in the fourth chapter of Genesis the story of Cain and Abel. And everybody knows that story, but they fail to understand what's going on here. The Bible says in the fourth chapter of Genesis, in verse 3, and in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And he also
brought
the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth or angry, and his countenance, so his whole attitude changed. Now, here's the key to this. If God is no respect to a person, and he isn't, you have two brothers trying to give an offering to God, yet God, who's no respect to a person, accepts the younger brother's offering and not the older brother's offering. Does that make God unjust? See?
No.
Most folk tend to miss it. Even Hollywood missed it because they don't have the answer. Most people miss this. The point is, God had a plan. God had a plan. He had one plan for both of them. He had one
Amen.
Plan.
Amen.
But the thing is, some people say, well, why did God accept one and not the other? Because if you do it the way God planned it, you'll be accepted. Look what it said in the verse. Verse 6 says, and the Lord said to Cain, why art thou wroth, and why are you angry? And why has thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall he desire, and thou shalt rule over him. He says, if thou doest well. Well, who would give the standard that one should do well or not? It was God.
Amen.
God had a plan as to what was doing well and what was not well. The Bible says, how do we know which one was right? Because the Bible says in Hebrews 11 and verse 4, it says, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. You see, he did it by faith. Well, how does faith come? Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. Therefore, it is inferred that God had told them the plan or what he wanted. Abel did what God said, and Cain did not. That's why he rejected with his offering, because he didn't do it the way God said.
Amen.
God had a plan. And this the same thing applies now. Many folks say, well, I want to praise God. I want to praise God. But you got to praise God according to God's plan. But otherwise, you are worshiping God in vain. Jesus our Lord said that in Matthew 15, verse 8 and 9. He says, this people draweth nigh unto me with their hearts and on me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But they be worshiping me, teaching the doctrine and the commandments of men. See, so you got to know what God, before you can do the plan, you got to know the plan. Too many folks out there doing these things, thinking it's God's plan, and it's not. You better go back to the book. Don't wind up being like banished Cain, and wind up getting jealous because God accepted your brother's offering, and wind up committing murder over it. The thing was, Abel did it the way God said it. See, it's as simple as that. Two brothers trying to accept the same God, yet one was rejected, one accepted because one of them did it the way God said it, and one did not. It is as simple as that. So folks are making it more complicated than what it is. Do it the way God said it. The number to call is 1-347-850-8256. 1-347-850-8256. Brother Parker.
Yes, sir. You know, you mentioned one thing about doing it the way that God said it, you know, and really, when you look at worship, and when you look at the definition of worship, that's really what it is. We're doing we're giving to God, basically, and anytime you see worship mentioned in the Bible, that's really what it is man giving to God, man submitting himself before God and God's infinite power, because he is worthy of all praise. So therefore, I believe it's very arrogant for us to approach God and to worship him how we want to worship him. That's arrogant of mankind. When it comes to true worship, see, we are not the audience. God is the audience. So, throughout history, here's what you see with religion and even worship styles. Here's what you see. Especially over the last few hundred years, you see the style of worship being modified and changing to where man is becoming less passive. In other words, what's happening is that worship, the way that worship is supposed to be, is that each of us has a part. All of us are supposed to be worshiping. We're supposed to be praying. We're supposed to be engaged in the teaching. When the teacher is teaching, we're supposed to be communing. We're supposed to be singing. But over time, what you have is man in his role in worship becoming more limited. So man has become the audience and let someone else do all the work, for example, a choir. So the choir starts singing and everyone else stops singing. So now what we're doing is putting ourselves as the audience. But see, that's arrogance. See, in true worship, God is the audience. We're all the performer. We're all supposed to be worshiping. The only audience member is God. When we meet for worship, it's not about entertaining ourselves. It's about worshiping God. While we're going that way, stop saying that I'm going to church. I preached a sermon at Darren Luke one time called Quit Coming to Church. Quit coming to church, you know, and before somebody get happy and saying the preacher said I don't have to come to church, let me explain what I mean. It's a big difference between coming to church and worshiping God. See, we don't come to church. We are the church. We come to worship. See, we get in this habit of just coming in on Sunday mornings and blowing through these five acts of worship halfway in. We're not worshiping with a sincere mind because all we want to do is come talk about how right we are and how wrong everyone else is, and we have in our mind, well, when the song leader sing, I'm just going to halfway sing. When a preacher preach, I'm a halfway listen. When a comedian go by, I'm just drink, you know, eat some crackers and drink some grape juice. It ain't about that.
Amen.
We ought to be engaged in worship, spiritual worship. Our spirit is in contact with the spirit of God. So therefore, when we're singing with the heart, we're singing intently, we're singing with the understanding, because we're instructing and edifying somebody else because of our singing. When we're communing, we don't have our minds on something else. We're not on our cell phones, on Facebook, or text messaging or whatever. We understand that we are dining, we are supping with Christ Jesus in spirit. Christ is there when we're taking communion. How rude is it for us to be doing anything else at the supper table with Jesus Christ?
Amen.
When we're preaching, we're engaged in the preaching of God's word. And think about it. People could come in here, sermon in, sermon out, and never change.
Amen.
That's a sheer conscience, and that's very arrogant. But instead, we submit ourselves to the word of God in true worship. We're submitting ourselves before God.
Amen.
So therefore, we're worshiping the way that he wants, not the way we want. We're not entertaining ourselves. Sometimes people say, well, I didn't get nothing out of worship. See, you're wrong, brother. You're wrong, sister.
Amen.
Worship has never been about what you get out of it. It's about what you
Amen.
Put into it.
Yes.
What you bring to the table. Amen.
And
Amen.
If you praise God throughout the week, trust me, you never have a Sunday where you don't get nothing from it. Now, see, worship
Amen.
Isn't, to some people,
Amen.
Worship is an experience that you cut off on Sunday mornings and you cut off Sunday afternoon. You know, we're supposed to be worshiping and praising God all week. See, if we're in the spirit all week, then we'll have no issue. We'll have no issue appearing for worship. Matter of fact, you know, we might not even wait till Sunday morning to get our outfits together, trying to rush. We're anticipating. Like the Hebrew writers say, so much more as you see that they approach, you're anticipating the opportunity to worship God. That's how I think about worship. I don't think about worship as an obligation. I think of it as an opportunity.
Amen.
In other words, I don't worship because I have to. I worship because I want to, because God has been so good. And he's not good just on Sundays. He's good every day.
Amen.
Worshiping and praising God every day of the week. Questions, comments. If you got a question, press 1. Brother Brown, our administrator, will put you on through. Any question?
Any questions, Brother Brown?
No, sir, not this time.
We got any online? Any people online? Do we have people online?
Amen. We want to thank Brother Brown for those comments. And we really are thankful to God for the opportunity to share in His holy and divine word, the Bible, because
Amen.
We cannot take anything for granted. God's word is supreme. It should be supreme in our
Amen.
Lives, and we should show reverence toward that.
Amen.
Because as we have our free moral agency, we still can't put that ahead of God's plan for mankind. God
mm-hmm.
still has a plan for all of us as far as, if you look at it in an individual sense, well, it's actually done in a collective sense. We must all come together to serve God collectively. That's what the plan
Amen.
Is all about. It's about bringing everybody together. The promise that God made Abraham, that in him all nations shall be blessed, that is vouchsafed by way of the gospel. That's what it means. The gospel is going to be the very tool that God used to bring all men together. Then someone said, well, then Brother Robin, why they ain't together? Because they put too much junk in the way of the gospel. That's
mm-hmm.
what I mean. We put too much junk in the way. It's like Brother Simon Peter following Christ or far off. After a while, he started cursing. He let too much junk get between him and Christ Jesus. The same thing applies to us. If God's plan was to bring everybody together by way of the gospel, then why are they still fighting wars by way of religion? Because they let too much junk get in the way of the gospel.
Amen.
God is not going to take away your free moral agency. You have the right to believe whatever you want to believe. God will not take away. God's not going to force you to obey the gospel.
Amen.
Jesus, our Lord, said, whosoever will, let him come. I find
mm-hmm.
nowhere in Scripture where someone was brought to Jesus kicking and screaming in protest. No, he
Amen.
Said, whosoever will, let him come. Don't stop
Amen.
Him from coming. Don't hinder him, but don't force him either. Man is still a free moral agent. He has the ability to choose. Now, some can choose to follow Jesus, and some choose not to, but he's not going to force you. But that does not nullify the plan. The plan is still that God would want all men, be it Jew or Gentile, to be of the same body.
Mm-hmm.
Of his promise made to Abraham by way of the gospel. That's the
Amen.
Power of God. You know, God could have put this power of salvation in anything he wanted. He chose to put it in the gospel. That's where he chose to put it. He could have put it any way he wanted to, but he chose to put it there. And then he still gave man his free moral agency. It's like back there in the garden, God could have removed that tree from the garden
mm-hmm.
to keep Adam and Eve from being tempted, but he didn't do that. He could have affected the desire from them, but he didn't do that. He left
mm-hmm.
all those things there, and he left the command there. Man still had his free moral agency. God ain't gonna take that away from you. You can choose whatever you want. As Brother Paul says in Romans 3, in verse 3, he says, and what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid.
Ooh.
He let God be true to every life.
Amen.
God's not gonna force it. Even if you choose not to believe it, that's your prerogative. But that don't nullify God because men don't believe it. I don't care if
Amen.
You believe it or not. God is still God, and God's plan is still God's plan, whether you believe it or not.
Amen.
It's not going to nullify it. But the point, we want to discuss this on the air so all men will have access to it because people need to hear this. But let us hear
yes.
from you. We want to discuss this thing openly so all men get a clear understanding. The Bible says, the wise man says in Proverbs 4 and verse 7, he says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. The number to call is 1-347-850-8256. 1-347-850-8256. Brother Parker.
Yes, and, you know, when we're talking about these things like worshiping God, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Many times I've heard going places, and you know, people are come and gather there, but then they'll get to look at each other kind of funny when they're singing. Oh, I don't know what they, you know what the Bible told us to? Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart and your mind unto the Lord. Isn't there a voice we have? You know, if y'all had to have good voices, then we couldn't be Christians. Well, a lot of people couldn't be a Christian because we have no voice to sing with. He said, speaking to yourself, do it. It's speaking the best that you can to each other in songs and hymns. And when we say, oh, how I love Jesus, you know, if we'd be singing it right now here on this program, oh, how I love Jesus. I'm talking to my brother here on the brothers here on this organization, and people that are listening in. Oh, how I love him. How do you love him? You're expressing yourself to the Lord in singing and making that melody in your mind unto the Lord. You know, the love of Jesus is so great. Oh, I love Jesus. What he's done for me. Look at the good he's done for me. And people say, well, I don't know how hard day did. Did you? Or you did? No. You didn't have a hard day then. You still living?
Yeah.
In the hospital? What's the problem? And even if you're sick, are you still living? Are you getting better?
Yes.
Lord have mercy. We put God down so low it's nothing funny. You know, just to be here is a blessing.
Amen.
I was telling you earlier about this sister who lived to be 100 and some years old, and she was still getting up, cooking for herself, living in a house by herself. The only thing that got her down was one day her gown, cooking breakfast, got on fire and it burned her. And it kept her down. She was about 106 years old then, I think, at that time. And it kind of put her in the bed, and she couldn't get up like she used to, and then she eventually died after that. But she was getting up, getting around, going to church and everything else at 106 years old. And some of us get to complain when we get about 40 or 50 years old. We need to thank God, praise God, worship him in spirit and in truth. Be thankful to the doctrine of Christ and to the church of
Amen.
Christ. That's where our salvation is, and we've got to deal with that holistically. Now, you can see how in this world everybody having such a good time. Any church would do, anything would do. Let a man come tell you some good. Put some instruments up in there. Have a morning, a Sunday morning nightclub in there. A lot of guys leave the nightclub out there close at 2 o'clock in this area at 2 o'clock, and they stay home all night in some of the states and everything. But they'll leave that and come flop into some kind of a church and listen to that good music and everything. Enjoy themselves in there. That's a dirty thing. We don't worship God like that, not in the biblical church. We don't have mechanical instruments of music. We don't have
That's
a whole
right.
lot of hollering and foolishness like a lot of these preachers doing that'll make you feel good.
Amen.
The only thing we preach is the doctrine of Christ. Book,
That's right.
And birth. And stand on that. Now, that hurts a whole lot of people, but it'll help you get saved, too. Because if you're living wrong and doing wrong, and it comes up in that sermon, all the preachers don't know what you're doing. As long as they're in the book, that's the word of God. That's making you turn from that wrong and turn to him. Repent of your sins and ask God for forgiveness and keep living the life of Christ. And if you're there, you're not a member of the church, when you hear the doctrine of Christ, obey it. You come to him by hearing the word, believing the same, repenting of your sins, confessing Christ be the Son of God, and being buried in the water graves of baptism. Rise up from a new creation in Christ Jesus. Live the life.
Amen.
Die, and heaven will be your home. You'll be blessed on this earth and eternal blessings in heaven. That's what we're talking about here. And that's the only church that's in the Bible there. Is Brother Robbins, or who's on next? So Brother Robbins, Brother Williams, or Brother Parker?
Brother Parker,
you're exactly right. There's only one church in the New Testament Bible that one can be a part of and be among the saved. As we said before, it is written in the Word of God. And as we quoted from Revelation chapter 20, verse number 15, whosoever is not written in the word of God will be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. That's the second death. That's eternal damnation.
Amen.
Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. The Church of Christ is right. It's the only church that Christ built. Christ is the only one in the New Testament, in the New or the Old Testament, that ever said he was going to build a church. The only person that you can read about in the entire Bible that said that he was going to build a church. And he built that church, and he built it in 33 A.D., and it has been established since then. It has spread all over the known world. Wherever men live, the gospel has been preached, the Church of Christ has been presented, people have obeyed the gospel in all nations, in all cultures, in all languages. The Church of Christ is a worldwide, universal church. But it is a spiritual church. It is not a physical building. It's not a building made and fashioned by man's hands, intuitiveness, and his device. But it is the mind of God. It is the spirit of God. And it is made up of all of those spirits whom God is saving. That's the souls of men. And so it's only one church. God only needs one church. If you are not a member of the Church of Christ, then you are not saved by God, by Christ, in the church. You are in a church where there is no salvation from God.
Amen.
Many people, billions of people, are part of the Catholic, the Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Lutheran, and all of these different churches. And one Bible scholar suggested that there are over 600 denominational names of churches that claim to be Christ. They claim to be Christian organizations. They claim to be saved and founded by Christ and his gospel, but they are not. History reveals that the Church of Christ, which began in 33 A.D., there were 12 apostles who preached the first gospel sermon. If you are not a member of that church that started then, you are not saved. Because history also lets us know that the Catholic Church didn't even begin its denominational apostasy until after 325 A.D., all of the 12 apostles were dead. They never preached in that church. They were never members of that church. They never taught the gospel of Christ as Catholic priests, Catholic fathers. And even Catholicism has a doctrine that claims Peter to be the first pope and the foundation of their church. Well, I tell you, like Peter said about David on the day of Pentecost, Peter is dead and in his grave. He is deceased. He has returned in bodily to dirt. He is no longer alive. So the Catholic Church, by their claim, must be built on a dead foundation. A dead foundation is a foundation that has no strength. It's no good. Would you build your house on a rotten foundation today, a foundation that's subject to fail, and your house fall down? Certainly not. You build your house on a solid, a new foundation. Jesus Christ is the solid foundation of his church. He is not dead. He is alive forevermore, Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 8. He is the God of heaven, who created us. He created everything, the world and all of us who are in it. Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 18. And he is the first place. He has first place. He must have first place in our faith, in our obedience, and in our desire for eternal life. We got to please Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Unless you're a member of the church that he built, that he bought, and that he established on the day of Pentecost in 33 A.D., you are not saved, nor can you be saved. All those churches are not written in the Word of God. And whosoever is not written in the Word of God will be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. This is, you don't want to be a part of the second death.
Amen.
If you want to not be a part of the second death, you must be a part of the first resurrection. What's the first resurrection? The resurrection from spiritual death to spiritual life, which is the obedience to the gospel in water baptism for the remission of your sins. That's when you receive new spiritual life. You got to be a part of that resurrection. Paul taught the church in Romans chapter 6, verse 3 and 4. Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that just like Christ was raised from the dead, even so we also are raised from the spiritual dead to walk in a new life, in a new and living way, a spiritual life. We were spiritually dead before our lives were touched, were cleansed from sin by the blood of Christ in water baptism. But after our faith in the operation of God and obedience to his gospel occurred, we were made alive spiritually. And now we are part of the spiritual family of God today. If you have not been baptized into the church of Christ, you are not saved. The
Amen.
Church of Christ is his wife. Romans chapter 7, verse 4. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23 through 25. The church of Christ is his body. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 and 23. Colossians chapter 1, verse 18 and 24. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 27. We are to be baptized into the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 13. Ladies and gentlemen, the church of Christ is the only church where salvation is. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. It's the only church named in the Bible. Romans chapter 16 and verse 16. Salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. There is no other name in which we can be saved.
Amen.
We commend you to the word of God, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters. We need to follow Christ. We need to be faithful about it. And as Brother Robin so eloquently expressed,
Amen.
We've got to do God's will, God's way. We have to do what God says, not what we think or want to do, but what God has commanded us to do. That's why so many people are serving God in false religion, because they have not submitted themselves to the written and righteous will of God. Brother Robbins, back to you.
Number to call is 1-347-850-8256. 1-347-850-8256. Is there any callers on the line? Are there any callers on the line?
No, sir. Not this time.
Okay, well, anyway, turn your Bible to the 10th chapter of Romans. Here, Brother Paul says here, in Romans chapter 10, because this is exactly what people are doing. In Romans 10 and verse 1, Brother Paul says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." That implies that they are lost. "For I bear
That's
them
right.
record that they are the will of God, but not according to knowledge." Now, wouldn't these the same Jews who had the Old Testament? Yeah, but yet, Brother Paul says, they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. But here's why he said what he said. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have I submitted themselves to the righteousness of God? Here's the key to all of that. The question would be, where is God's righteousness found today? Because those Jews, they had the Old Testament scripture. They had them. Yet, Brother Paul said they were ignorant of God's righteousness. So where is God's righteousness found today? See, I'm going to read it again. He says, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant, ignorant means unknowing, unaware of, unfamiliar with, inexperienced. They being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto righteousness of God. Then he says, for Christ is the end of the Torah, the law, a righteousness to everyone that believeth. So where is God's righteousness found today? It goes right back to the gospel. That's where God put it.
Amen.
If a man wants to be found righteous before God, he has to obey the gospel. That's where that way he'll have access to the promise that God made Abraham a long time ago, that in him all nations of the world shall be blessed. That means by you get there by way of the gospel. That plan is too plain to see. It's too plain to see. Yet people can't see it. The Bible is right. God has one plan for all mankind, and he wrapped it up in the gospel. What people got a problem? You know, I talked to a lady just on Wednesday, and she was saying she was a secretary at her church. So I asked her, I said, ma'am, well, tell me this. Since you've been 8 years the secretary of your church, tell me, what is the facts of the gospel? I have yet to get an answer.
Amen.
Yeah. People go to church, they claim, but yet doing what the gospel is. Or if you want to say go to worship, they claim that too. Yet when you ask what exactly is the gospel, what's the plan? And they can't tell you what the gospel is. But then when you tell them what it is, they say, oh, I knew that. Well, then why did you say that when I asked?
Amen.
But the reason why people have a problem with that is because these people are not being taught and taught properly, because everything points to Christ is dying. Everything in the Old Testament pointed forward to the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ, according to the scriptures. Mankind needs some help. He had fallen from God. He needs some help. And man couldn't do anything to save himself. So God, through his grace, he gave man the help he needed. See, way back in the beginning, God had the plan already laid out because he knew what man was going to do. He provided a plan for man. He provided a plan for man before man even knew he needed a plan. God had already taken care of it. Don't it feel good when you go somewhere and somebody have already paid for you, paid your fare already before you even got there? Don't it make you feel good? I'll go to a restaurant and the meal is already paid for. All you got to do is sit down and enjoy it. God has blessings for all of us. He already laid the plan out. All we got to do is just obey the gospel. All those spiritual blessings, all the Christian graces, all these things you can add to your faith by the plan God laid out for you, because God knew you before you knew yourself. God knew what mankind was going to do, so he had a plan just for mankind. Even when mankind didn't even know he needed it, God had a plan for it. That should make everybody happy. That should make everybody happy. The plan that God has for all mankind.
Amen.
We're about out of time, but tune in every Thursday from 7:30 to 8:30 with a live bucket. But we would love for you to call us and talk on the air live. Please ask questions, because that's how one can arrive at truth, by simply ask these questions. I want to thank our panel, Brother Parker, Brother Lewis Parker Ford, Brother William, and Brother Brown, serving as our moderator. But tune in on Thursday, every Thursday from 7:30 to 8:30, live.
Amen.
We'll give you a Bible answer. The number to call is 1-347-850-8256. We're out of time. Take care. May God bless you. May God keep you. Amen.
Amen.